Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming off the Titans loss last night, 27-13 at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys, and reacting to the performance of Josh Dobbs. So, Joe, we've talked a lot about the game, a lot about the performance of Josh Dobbs last night against Dallas. What about moving forward? I think, look, again, we can play the mental gymnastics of who's going to start at quarterback next week for the Titans. I think it's pretty clear. I think it's going to be Josh Dobbs. Like you said, Ryan Tannehill placed on IR yesterday, so we know it's not going to be him. I think it's going to be Josh Dobbs for the Titans against Jacksonville. So how much differently do you view this game with Josh Dobbs as the starter? Obviously, you should have Derrick Henry well-rested in that game, Jeffrey Simmons rested in that game, hopefully DeNico Autry with the biceps injuries ready to go. Hopefully, you got a lot of guys that are ready to go to get back in there in that game against Jacksonville. But specifically with Dobbs at quarterback, how much better do you feel about it if you're a Titans fan? And what do you make of the Titans' chances to win that game on the road at Jacksonville against a red-hot Jags team with Josh Dobbs at quarterback?
Yeah, look, I think they have a real solid chance. I don't think it's like some remote chance. I mean, look, it's not that the Jags are a complete football team either, okay? I mean, we've built up the Jags into this. I mean, they are playing better. They have got the edge. They're going to be at home. I think it's going to be, I guess if it's not a prime time, I think the Saturday TV windows for those two games are like, like four. That's probably what it would be, right? It'd be like the 4:30 game or something Saturday. But, it's going to be a tough atmosphere, I would think. I would think that Duval and company are very excited.
Is that a heated pool they got, or is it just normal?
I don't know, man. And maybe they'll even like add a slide or, give people some of those little – little floaties, I mean, who knows what could go on in that pool. It's a good team, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, they got some magic going, but this is where the Titans, about culture, could come into play. The Titans have a bunch of guys who have won divisions, who understand winning this league. I mean, a guy like last night, and I know that obviously it got away from them, and Dak, to his credit, made some fantastic plays. But to go to Megan in the text line, with as frustrated as Byard has been, I'm so glad he got those interceptions last night. They didn't win, but man, it was cathartic to see 31 running the other way with the ball. It was probably cathartic for him too. It was a little bit of, we're still here kind of moment. And real quick, by the way, I missed your Joe is giving Queen vibes today, and I'm here for it, Megan. That's an awesome, with my floating head. I'm sorry I missed that the other day. But anyway, you bring fresh Autry into the mix. You bring a fresh Jeff Simmons into the mix. Who gets the IR return? I think to me, the by far the best case scenario for the Titans would be David Long Jr. Bring him into the mix. And, look, I will say, like, Gibbons flying around, man. Jeff Gibbons flying around. And Monty Rice made a lot of plays last night. Monty Rice also made some big mistakes last night. But still, like, he's coming on too. But if you can get David Long Jr. into that defense with what he has meant to that defense this year, what would that mean? Can you get Christian Fulton back? I would think so. Can you get Imani Hooker back? I'd think certainly with him. Yeah, that's a defense. That's a championship level defense when all those guys are healthy and they are playing their best. So I believe that that group can go into Jacksonville and cause problems for Trevor Lawrence in that offense. And they're going to have to, because with Josh Dobbs, even though he's an upgrade over Malik Willis, and with Henry fresh and all that, you still, this offense is what's the realistic hope? Can you get to 20? Can you get into the 20s in this game?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think if you're the Titans offense, like 21 points, 24 points, it's hard for me to get much above that. But, like, can you get to those numbers if you're the Titans? And can you find a way to hold Trevor Lawrence and that offense under that? I mean, Derrick Henry has had success against Jacksonville, and even last game. And what did he run for, like 96 yards against the Jags in the first quarter of the game, and then basically got shut down after that, and of course fumbled after that too. So that's, you know, you need everybody to hold on the ball, including Josh Dobbs. He fumbled a couple of times last night. Did have the interception and had another one that probably should have been a pick six that Diggs dropped. So like we said, it's not like Josh Dobbs was perfect last night, and there were plenty of mistakes that he made. You know, holding on to the ball too long at times and taking some sacks that he shouldn't have taken. I mean, it's not like you're dealing with, you know, Patrick Mahomes out there with Josh Dobbs coming in there. But he's clearly an upgrade over Malik Willis. And I do wonder, with what I would presume to be another full week to prepare, knowing that you're the starter if you're Josh Dobbs, what did the Titans learn about him last night that maybe they didn't know, right? So, like, what did Vrabel, what did Todd Downing learn? What do they trust Josh Dobbs with after watching him play in a live NFL game that you can implement against Jacksonville? I agree with you. Like, lean into him running the ball. Like, I think that's got to be a part of it. I think that should be a part of it against Jacksonville. Do anything you can do to manufacture offense in this game. And we know this. I mean, the offensive line is what it is. There were times where Dobbs dropped back last night, and before you could count to two, Micah Parsons was hitting him in the chest, and he was having to get rid of the ball. I mean, that's not going to change in this game against Jacksonville. That's going to happen to him a couple of times. So how do you mitigate that? And when that happens, can you avoid disaster and hold on to the ball or get rid of the ball? You know, Kirk Herbstreit kept making this point on the broadcast last night, which I thought was a good one. Like, right now, there are a few differences between Josh Dobbs and Malik Willis. One of the big ones was decisiveness and getting rid of the ball quickly. And I thought Josh Dobbs, for the most part, did a pretty good job of that last night.
Yeah, and again, and even within that, some of the getting rid of the ball quickly was not to the first read.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, that's such a massive difference. So, like, if you're Todd Downing and Mike Vrabel, and, you know, you're gonna see stuff that you want back, and that he made Massey miss a little bit, or you know, again, hold the ball too long, can't take a couple of sacks he took. But you've got to be, and I'm sure you saw it in practice. That's why he got the start, right? I mean, it's not like this is a surprise to them, but you still want to see it on game day, how he reacts to a defense with absolute studs, first of all, with, you know, the best pass rusher in the NFL right now, but also, you know, disguising coverages and all these things. How he reacts to it was so far beyond what they've been getting from Malik Willis, you know, in my opinion. And so I think they've got to be excited about now, with this all this extra time, more time for him. You know, he can get to his second week of being in this offense, and then you have extra time to prepare for one opponent and to game plan. So, yeah, I think that's the thing is some design stuff I would do. I think some design stuff to have his running threat be something that the Jaguars have to account for would be something that Todd Downing would need to do. But then again, also on the Todd Downing front, you know, he's been sabotaging Malik Willis, and now is, yeah. So of course, per some on Titans Twitter, which is probably my favorite idiotic take from yesterday.
Now the play calling is masterful out there from Todd Downing. I got a texter that says, it's crazy, but saying that we need to get to 21 through 24 points feels like you said we need 35 to 40 points. This from a texter on the text line. It does kind of feel that way. Like, well, I was even as I was saying, I was like, man, 24. Can this team do that as presently constructed? I don't know.
Hey, they got to 20. They got to 22. They got to 22 last time against the Jags.
They did.
Of course, they had Ryan Tannehill.
They did. Yeah. They did have Ryan Tannehill. Scott on the text line says, guys, whose idea was it to go get Dobbs? That is a good question. Like, I was Vrabel scouring the film? Was it Ryan Cowden that said, yeah, go find me Josh Dobbs and bring him in here? It's a good question.
Well, Ryan Cowden gets the credit. You know, yeah. I mean, he's the acting GM right now. I mean, that's the thing. With something like that, yeah, it's probably a little different with quarterbacks, because, like, I think everybody probably in these personnel staffs have pretty strong handle on that position. There aren't a ton of quarterbacks in the league anyway. But, you know, like, you hear the story of, like, when they went and got Khalif Raymond, that's one scout, like, just finding something and like hammering, like this guy can help us, you know? So sometimes it could be anybody in that group who pushes for it. But yeah, it would be interesting to know, like, did Vrabel have, like, did he come up with the idea at all? Where did it come from? Because it's a very good, I mean, like, it's not like we were sitting here talking like, man, they really need to go sign Malik Willis up or sign Josh Dobbs off that Lions practice squad, you know?
Yeah.
But now that he's in here and he played like he did last night, it's like, gosh, should have been here all year.
615-737-1025. We'll have more of your thoughts coming up next. How confident are you for the Titans in their chances against Jacksonville? And what did Josh Dobbs' performance last night do for your confidence as the Titans prepare to take a winner-take-all game on later this week or next week against Jacksonville? We'll get to more of that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com. He's muted.
It's Friday, okay?
It is.
I'm on the beach. Order Green, which is a great place, by the way, to enjoy OrderGreen.com. OrderGreen.com, nation's number one online shop for all things THC and CBD. You were talking about gummies, vape, flower, anything that you can think of, they've got it. And they've also got a very knowledgeable, excuse me, team who can tell you about these products and what that tells you also. Is that you are getting high quality products from reputable providers. You can get a if you get a subscription to OrderGreen.com, you can get 25% off every shipment of gummies, and that sh those shipments will come same day delivery to your doorstep. Again, this is nationwide. And if you use promo code JOE20, you get 20% off your first purchase at OrderGreen.com.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We'll have Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Cowboys last night at Nissan Stadium. Right now, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What did Josh Dobbs' performance last night do for you? About how you feel about the Titans' chances to win the division and the winner-take-all game coming up in Jacksonville next week. Chris on the text line says, honestly, I'm strongly considering going to Jacksonville next week for the finale. With players coming back, I think we got a great shot of winning. I wasn't considering that before last night. Winning the division is something special, and Vrabel will have them ready. This is from Chris on the text line. So Titans fans having new life breathed into them last night, Joe. I love it.
There's nothing like a 14-point loss at home to breathe life as a six straight loss to breathe life into your excitement. And I'm joking, of course, because I don't blame you. Maybe a little bit of a pilgrimage, maybe a little bit of a Titans presence in Ever Clear Bank, whatever the heck that place is called now, with these delicious milky pools.
Yes, looking forward to that.
But no, I mean, it's look, I think Titans fans should feel better now that I'm saying better from like really bad about their chances, but they should feel better about their chances. I'm trying to think of a percentage chance. I think the Titans have if everybody comes back, who I think will come back, and really I guess it, like I think Fulton will be back. That would be one I want to confirm it. And then, especially Long. I mean, if Long is the one IR return, unless it's what, saving it for Ryan Tannehill in the AFC title game,
Could be.
I give the Titans a 56% chance of winning the finale and winning the division.
Really?
Yep.
56%. Wow.
Look, I mean, this is still a team that knows how to win, that I think this defense in particular on the road. Think about some of their performances. Now they've had great performances, like the home performance against Mahomes last year, for example, and like 9 sacks against Burrow. But I feel like some of their best performances have been on the road against good teams or big moments, quieting the crowd kind of thing with that defense.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that they're going to be the best version of that defense in a long, long time in the finale.
Got a text that says, to me, the energy with the team felt different than it did all year long in a good way. Josh Dobbs did something to this team. If people execute and do their jobs, I think 24 points is easily achieved. Too many times last night, receivers dropped passes and penalties just killed us. Joe, last night was a wild ride with Robert Woods because he drops that first one, and then there's another play after that. I think he caught like a 10-yard ball for the first down. And then on his third target last night, Woods is breaking out to the left, and he just falls down. And he's on the ground out there. And Josh Dobbs throws the ball to him, and by the time the ball is released, Woods is on the ground. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what in the world is Robert Woods doing out there? He's not catching the ball. He's slipping all over the place, sliding down. And then he scores a touchdown later in the game, has a great catch and a great throw, by the way, on kind of like an out route to the sideline in the red zone from Josh Dobbs, which may have been his best throw of the night on that play. And, Woods, ends up having a pretty decent game from a stat standpoint last night. It started rough for him, and I wondered what exactly was going on. There was one point, I think, after he dropped the ball where he just wasn't out there for a drive, but he ends up with five catches, 39 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, he's got to be more reliable than he's been starting next week.
Yeah, he's got to take advantage of opportunities. Austin Hooper had at least one drop, right? But I mean, he was targeted six times and has one catch for 6 yards. You gotta, it's an all hands on deck kind of thing. You gotta get Burks the ball. I mean, if you can get another shot to McMath, get a shot to McMath. But yeah, Woods has got to take advantage of the opportunities. I mean, Westbrook Akinde last night, what, I guess he got targeted three times, just one catch for 4 yards. I mean, there's enough there. If those guys don't make mistakes, to have a good enough passing game, can you protect? Can you also avoid any of the bad penalties on offense and things like that? Like some of the mistakes, someone on the text line earlier, and it's so far long ago, I probably couldn't find it again, but it was like the penalties show that Vrabel has at least partially lost his team. And like, well, I don't think there's a losing the team element. I think there's some operational stuff that has to be cleaned up for this game. And there's probably some of it is, again, 86 players now and different guys in and out of the lineup. But, and Dobbs, I think there was at least one cadence issue last night that caused a false start. But that's the type of stuff you're going to have when you all of a sudden it's like, here, throw this quarterback in, throw this left tackle in, right? But now you have this extra time. Like, yeah, that stuff has to be cleaned up for this game. And you can't give them the ball for sure. I mean, that's number one thing for Josh Dobbs in this game is like you cannot give the Jaguars the ball.
Tyler on the text line says, after seeing that and thinking we have a chance, I'm extra annoyed by the fact they waited until after the Texans game to put Tannehill on IR. There's a real scenario where Dobbs with a healthy Henry and defense could legitimately beat Jacksonville and then the Ravens. If Tannehill had been put on IR a game earlier, he'd be available for the divisional round against either the Bengals or the Chiefs, both of which we have played close. This from Tyler on the text line.
I mean, look, that's a fair point to bring up. It's I kind of read it as waiting to see, like, is there some magical healing that goes on to where you could think about the Jacksonville game, and then sort of confirmation, no, so get that IR in now, so at least. But here's the thing, I think it's probably more than anything, I think they're going to use the return on somebody else, so I think really what it is just like, yeah, he's just, it's not gonna, I mean, even when you have the tightrope surgery, it's like 4 to 6 weeks, and granted, could like the third week of that turn into this, holy crap, it's incredible, it feels great. I mean, I guess, but I think more than anything, it's like just confirmation that it's done for him, and that return is going to be used on someone else. And maybe, again, if it is long, I don't think you can overstate. As much as they've had some impressive cameos here and some fill-in performances at linebacker, I don't think you can overstate what it means to have him in the middle of that defense doing everything that he does with the pass rush that they should have in this game too. So if that is the usage of the return, then I think that's a good usage of it if you can get there with him.
Bill in Clarksville on the text line says the Titans defense, when healthy, can be a game-changing unit. With Henry back and rested, just a small threat of a passing game, it should be close. Let's not overlook the opposing team is still the 7-8 Jags. This is from Phil in Clarksville on the text line. I do. It is kind of amazing. And look, Trevor Lawrence has played great, and they've turned a corner. I don't think there's any question about it. But like the amount of people acting like the Jags are just like some unbeatable team is hilarious to me. It's Jacksonville.
Yeah, look, the Titans gave them an incredible supply of oxygen on that day. And they've taken and run with it. And I will say, like, the way they came back, because the Cowboys were taking it to them on their home field. The way they came back in that game, and the way Trevor Lawrence played, and obviously you get kind of the lucky pick six. The Titans, one of Byard's picks last night. Poor Dak Prescott getting hammered for these picks, and I get it. And the second Byard pick was a great play by him, and that's on Prescott. But my gosh, I mean, that was a perfect pass last night into receiver's hands that turns into a pick. Just like the Jags game-winning thing was right to the receiver's hands. But anyway, the point I was making was that was a special comeback for the Jags against a very good NFL team. The Cowboys are, I consider them a contender in the NFC. I think they could actually make a run, okay? So the Jags have got something special going on, and they're also like 3 weeks removed from losing 40-14 to the freaking Detroit Lions. No, they are not some unbeatable force here.
I got a texture that says it shows you how good of a leader Josh Dobbs seems to be when he was legitimately mad at himself for some of the mistakes that he made last night, even though he's only been there for 8 days. By the way, this original text said mad at himself for some of the steaks that he made, as in steaks that you grill on a grill, and then corrected themselves to mistakes. Either one was acceptable to me. It's good stuff.
Well, I'm a rare guy all the way. You can get to medium rare, and I get pissed off. So I want the blood on the plate.
I love it. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on the Titans and their loss to the Cowboys coming up next. We'll get into the defensive side of the ball. What in the world was going on out there last night with some of the penalties that the Titans committed? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
How about the roughing penalties? Did those seem pretty similar, Rice's and Bland's?
You know, those are judgment calls, and I think that was bad judgment.
As Mike Vrabel last night after the game discussing the roughing the passer penalty, one which was called against the Titans and one which was not against the Dallas Cowboys. Look, Joe, there were plenty of calls last night that I had issue with and that I had a problem with. I did not think it was a good game from the officials. I thought some of the calls that they made, and more specifically, some of the calls that they didn't make, were just atrocious last night. Now, having said that, there were some plays last night that the Titans made that were very clearly penalties, and some of which were very costly that kept drives going for Dallas and that eliminated drives for them. I mean, look, the first drive of the game offensively for the Titans, you're moving right along. Dobbs makes a good play to Okonkwo. It's got a good run, and Treylon Burks gets called for a holding penalty, and all of a sudden it's 3rd and 16, and your drive is just killed at that point. So it wasn't just on the defensive side of the ball. There were a lot of pass interference penalties last night, but some untimely penalties throughout. Dennis Daly, a couple of false starts on fourth down last night for the Titans. What did you make of the penalties last night? And specifically with some of the defensive pass interference, Roger McCreary got victimized a couple of times on that one. And then, of course, the big one was Trey Avery losing his man and then 51 yards down the field, just wrapping somebody up and taking him to the ground. What did you make of the penalties last night for the Titans?
Well, that one by Avery you mentioned was the biggest. I mean, I think that was the biggest play of the game. I think that was 3rd and 19 or something.
Third and 19.
And that's a touchdown for them now that you gave them. And look, I mean, it's. That one was close, but yeah, he did too much. I mean, I can't argue. That was one of those where it's just like, man, there was no need to do it. It's easy to say that watching it on, watching the replay, but he didn't have to do it, but he did it. I mean, that one was just a killer penalty. The McCreary got one where it's just a little bit of hand fighting. Like that happens all the time. And because the receiver went flying, they gave him. That was such a bad call.
Took an Olympic dive on the sideline over there.
Yeah, that was, I mean, McCreary, it was like light hand fighting from him. So that was unfortunate. But the big issue I had was I guess we're getting star calls for defensive player. You don't see that too much. But Micah Parsons goes helmet to helmet on Josh Dobbs. And again, you and I differ on the other ones. All I'm saying on the ones called on the Titans is like, yep, I expect it because that's they call. Blowing on, gently, brushing past a quarterback anymore, you're going to get called. So I'm not surprised by that call. I'm stunned that they didn't call the one on Parsons. I mean, hit him helmet to helmet. It's ridiculous.
Well, we also got to get to some common sense. And we talked about this earlier this year with, you remember the Tom Brady call for roughing the passer against Atlanta? I mean, there have been some brutal roughing the passer calls
Yes.
this year. When Dak Prescott is dragging Monty Rice down by his hand with his left hand on top of him, I don't really know how you expect Monty Rice to not land on top of the quarterback. Like, in what universe is that a penalty? Again, I don't guess I'm overly surprised that they called it. It's a ridiculous call. It should be reviewable.
Well, that's the thing. So if that one was reviewable, then it might have been, but in real time, it just looked like Monty Rice just put his body weight on him, right? So like in real time, that's a hard one to like. As soon as I saw, I'm like, oh, let's see that flag, and it came out. You're right. If you with the benefit of a replay, very crafty by Dak. That was very, like Dak could be in the Premier League, with stuff like that. So I am not opposed to making those reviewable at all. I'm for it.
Well, I mean,
Let's
they
make the games longer. These games are
well,
fine lengthwise.
well, they're changing the game too much. And I'm not saying that that one totally changed the game, but when you go from incomplete pass to 15-yard first downs all the time with the regularity that they're calling these roughing the passer penalties, I get it. You want to protect the quarterback. I understand it. But let's use a little common sense on some of these calls that are going on out there.
No, I agree. And again, though, the way things are now, the way they're called, it's absolutely when I see one that's a clear one that they don't call, that bothers me more now. You know what I mean? Just because in the context of the way they call it, like how?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ed from East Nashville. Ed, thanks for calling in.
Hey guys. Hey, let me ask you a question. What do you think about Dobbs last night? The way he was able to get out of the pocket, use his legs to extend plays, and I thought that's something Malik should have been doing. I don't know if they were planned plays or if just Josh was just doing it on his own. And to some extent, I think Tannehill is very effective when he's out of the pocket like that. He doesn't do it a whole lot, but I think that would help Tannehill next year. As opposed to just standing back there, you give the defense a little bit more to think about when you're on the move like that. What do you guys think?
Hey, thanks for the call, Ed. Well, a couple of thoughts that I've got on that, Joe. Number one, there were times where they absolutely moved the pocket. So, I mean, basically, I mean, you could watch on the replay, Micah Parsons be lined up across from Dennis Daly, and as soon as Josh Dobbs took the snap, he's rolling to his right. And that's a way to mitigate the pass rush that Micah Parsons specifically can bring to the table. I did also think that there were other times that Dobbs just broke the pocket. I think some of those were good decisions. I also think some of those were bad decisions. Like, so I thought there were a couple of times in the games where he probably should have hung in there in the pocket, or when he did break the pocket, either look to run it a little bit more than he did, or certainly throw the ball out of bounds. I mean, there was one play, the sack comes to mind. He breaks the pocket. It's a bootleg on that play. And instead of throwing it, he just holds and holds and holds and holds, and all of a sudden he's sacked back there. So, they did move him around a lot. I think some of it worked out well, some of it not so much for Josh Dobbs last night.
Yeah, you got to sail that one. You got to sail that one out of bounds. But yeah, you're gonna see more of that moving the pocket. You have to do that more. A texter here says, aside from Dobbs, decently good game. Diggs should have a pick six on that one. My question is, why Conley's trying to block 20 yards upfield? He should have released the quarter, would have been wide open. I agree. That was a weird play from Conley, the way that play was set up. I thought maybe Conley must have screwed up the play because he allowed Diggs to come up and almost have a pick six there on that boot. So that may have been a Conley mistake on that play.
Yeah, could have been. What did you make of Roger McCreary's night last night? It was rough at times, not only from the penalties, but He got picked on a little bit by CeeDee Lamb out there too. Now, having said that, as far as cornerbacks go, like Roger McCreary is like the one constant out there that you could rely on to be on the field and to be available. And to his credit, one thing that I really like about him is regardless of what's going on in the game, and there was about a quarter and a half, two-quarter stretch there where it wasn't going well for Roger McCreary, that guy doesn't go away. I mean, they threw a deep pass in the fourth quarter in one of those brilliant Mike McCarthy clock management just strikes again where it's like 5 minutes left and they tried to throw a ball 55 yards down the field and Roger McCreary broke it up. Yep. And he's got that swag to him. So I love we always talk about, you know, play the next play, all that crap, the cliche stuff that we talk about. I feel like he actually does it.
I think Roger McCreary is probably a great example of, I could see some people looking at, like last night, he gave up some plays he has recently and be down on him. I think you should be super excited about Roger McCreary if you're a Titans fan. I think it's a great pick, and you're exactly right. He has the exact demeanor you have to have. He just, every play he's going to be in your shorts. You just beat him for 40. Okay, he's in your face again. And this is with the DB, with a cornerback in the NFL. You know, how many times is the ball not thrown his way because he has good coverage? You know, look, if you give up big plays, you give up plays, and he's made some mistakes. But nah, there's a reason he's played 99.8% of the snaps or whatever. Like, they trust him. He's a really good pick, and he's going to be a good player. So he's not a concern at all. He's just not perfect. But let's also remember the Titans, you know, were rushing the passer last night with, you know, Terrell Basham and, you know, and guys like that. They didn't have Autry or Dupree or Simmons or any of those guys on the field. So those DBs at times were having to cover for too long.
Yeah. Seth on the text line says, guys, I've officiated various sports for 20 years. I rarely complain about officiating, but last night was terribly inconsistent. Probably ends up a closer game. The Titans still lose, though. Yeah, I mean, I think that's an important point to bring up. I had a big problem with the officiating last night. Do I think it was ultimately the difference in a win and a loss for the Titans? No, but I thought it was a pretty horribly officiated game last night. I mean, look, there was one play where I think it was Sam O rushing the quarterback, and he got held. I mean, clear as day. I mean, you could see the jersey tug on the screen as Dak's like scrambling outside of the pocket, and the official's just looking right at it. Nothing. I'm like, what do the Titans have to do to get a flag thrown against the Cowboys in this game? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, and I hate to, you know, because it's like, well, I'm sure they missed some holdings the other, you know, but I got to say that the officiating last night did not pay the Titans any favors. There was some bizarre misses and then also calls that hard to understand.
I got a texter that says there has to be someone better than Dennis Daly on this planet. The CFL, a sumo wrestler, a well-trained walrus. This is from a texter on the text line.
Well-trained walrus. I just
read the text. That's all I do.
I mean, that was pretty good. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do at left eye. I mean, I assume it's ultimately going to be him starting at left tackle.
It's going to be him. Yeah,
but it's not good. It's a problem, and it's, yeah, I mean, you know.
I never thought we'd get to the point this year, Joe, where I was like, man, I really wish they had Dylan Raidens out there, but it's kind of where I'm at.
Although, hey, let's see. Today should be a good day for hashtag Jared's film room to be operational. So maybe Jared can tell us why we're all actually wrong and he's actually quite good.
Well, he better get in there. He's got one hour today.
I look forward to that.
He's got 1 hour today before the Preds pregame starts. So a lot of film crunching he's going to have to do today coming up at 2 o'clock. I'm looking forward to that. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
And it is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. You can check it out each morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexrode, live from Florida. The floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
All right, first I want to show you guys my phone. This is just for the folks on the live stream. This is I'm texting with Katie Rexro, who's, yep, you know, a few feet from me right now. So so she asked, when is the press conference? Because, like, every day this week, like, I've left for an hour. I've been getting ready for 3 hours of radio. I've left for an hour to do press conference. Of course, today's game day. So here, let's see if you can read the interaction. Can you read it?
Yes, I can.
I'll read it to the listener. When's a press conference? No press conference today. It's game day. 4 hours of radio. No. And then she was like the Michael Scott. No, God, no.
Please, God, no.
Or Katie. And now she gets to, now Katie gets to hear me rant about John Glennon. Right, I gotta call out John Glennon. Because I'm, first of all, I love John Glennon. Okay, I want to. I'll do respect.
Very dear friend of the show.
Dear friend of the show. I've worked with John at the Tennessean. I worked with John at the Athletic. I love John Glennon. He's great. And honestly, like, I would say of all the people, I feel almost dirty because, like, it was like Kaharsky and I yesterday texting each other, like, "What's wrong with these idiots? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" Like, I go over the dark side with Kaharsky, but I could not believe some of the takes off this move, which is, to me, was so obvious, right? But I just want to read Glennon's story, which sparked a huge text battle with many swear words between he and I yesterday afternoon. So he's writing about why Josh Dobbs instead of Malik Willis. This is SI.com. John Glennon, I'm going to quote his story. Quote, one possibility, the Titans offensive line is a battered patchwork group featuring Dennis Daly, Aaron Brewer, Corey Levin, Jordan Russo, LaRaven Clark. So the Titans may be looking to safeguard Willis's health for the winner-take-all game in the season finale. Willis might start that game or conceivably back up Tannehill if Tannehill is able to return from the ankle injury. Of course, aside here, he was not put on IR yet. Correct. Quote, back to the story. Quote, a second and seemingly less likely possibility. The Titans may want to see if Dobbs at this point in his career might give Tennessee a better chance against Jacksonville than Willis. Dobbs has been in the NFL since 2017 when Pittsburgh selected him in the fourth round. He's played 6 games, 10 of 17, 45 yards, 0 touchdowns and a pick. I read that because I've seen some, you know, again, different things on Twitter throwing that out there. And I'm like, oh God, I'm just eye roll. But then I read that and I immediately attacked John Glennon via text. And we, again, went back and forth. I cannot believe. And in fact, I think John Glennon owes me and everyone an apology today. And I look forward to this apology from John Glennon. I don't understand how your mind can go there. I just don't get it. Now, is that the worst take from all this? No. I mean, we've also got now Dobbs is better than Tannehill. And we've got, we've got Todd Downing, has been saving all the good plays for Dobbs, which actually Mike Herndon on Twitter had a great tweet. He's like, yeah, this is kind of like when Tannehill came in and they were like, oh, saving all the good plays you weren't giving to Marcus.
Yeah.
You know, the big argument that Glennon and I had back and forth, and I just don't understand how he doesn't understand this. His point was 6 years in the league and he's not started yet at all. I'm like, okay, that's fair. He's right now a career backup. And I don't think right now we've seen anything with Josh Dobbs that tells you he's, you know, a starter in the NFL. He's not. I think he's a backup quarterback in the NFL. That's what he is, right?
Yes.
But you don't think that all this time in the NFL gives you a leg up over the rookie who comes out of Hugh Freeze's freaking offense, who should not have taken a snap this year? How could you not think that? Like, were you sitting there last night, Glennon, watching him, and they'd be like, oh, my God. He actually can read a defense. You can call a pass play with this guy. He's been in the league for 6 years. It doesn't matter if he hasn't started or played in that time. Because he's not good enough to be a starter, you don't think he's good enough to beat out Malik Willis right now? My God, John Glennon. My God.
I mean, I'm totally with you. It was I said this earlier, but even before Glennon's article came out, before the game – yesterday, like, I was looking around on Twitter, and, like, you know, Titans Twitter can be an interesting place sometimes. It's nowhere near the volume of interesting that Vol Twitter is, even though there's a little bit of crossover there. But it was interesting yesterday to watch, like, the the just total panic of how could they do this? How could the Titans do this? Oh, wait, they're just resting Malik, right? Like the amount of people that thought they were resting Malik Willis yesterday, I was like, what are you guys talking about? Like Malik Willis can barely run the Titans offense, and you think that they're going to rest him? They're like, oh, yeah, we feel so good about him heading into the Jacksonville game that we're giving him the week off behind this offensive line. I mean, it just made no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, there were others in the Titans media space, throwing this out there. And I'm just like, what are you thinking? But I'd like to just pick on John Glennon here. Let's keep it to Glennon. Yeah, and here's the thing. Beyond all the misunderstanding of Dobbs of being in the league this long, just because you haven't started, like that there's no value in that is weird. But also, yeah, think about that on the Willis front. So not only this whole like, oh, so we got to protect him. Dude, he needs every single snap and rep and moment of progress to give you any chance. Like sitting him, all of a sudden he's going to – you snap your fingers and he's going to be like better. Like it makes zero sense. The lack of thinking this through, all due respect, John, was quite stunning. So I kind of feel bad. Like I have ripped on Glennon in this segment, and I have embraced Kaharsky. Like Kaharsky and I are teaming up and shaming people. That's usually the Kaharsky thing, right? Just ripping all the other media members and stuff. I feel bad about it, but it had to be done.
You're kind of with Kaharsky and Jared in the same breath because Jared, you know, came on our show yesterday and talked about how the Titans are going to go down there in Jacksonville and win. And here we are an hour ago, you gave the Titans a 56% chance to win the game down there. So you're Team Kaharsky and Team Jared today. How's it feel?
Well, look, it sets up my producing gig with Stille and Pauly. So we'll all be a united front of wonderful takes.
What a show that'll be.
Especially with him producing it. Would love to see that.
Yeah.
This board will explode, Rex Road.
Can you imagine all the technical glitches we'll have?
You will be Toonses. You will be Toonses, the driving cat.
Oh, God. Well, Toonses is solo now, huh?
Yeah. It's interesting. See how that goes.
No one else to go off the cliff with him. That's good.
Michelle, your thoughts on Josh Dobbs, his performance last night, and what it means for the Titans moving forward?
You know, I was sitting in the press box last night, and just a very open mind, right? I didn't follow Josh Dobbs a lot when he went to Tennessee. So I thought, you know, okay, give it a shot. My first thought was, you know, they're probably just trying somebody else at QB because at this point they're just trying to win the division, make it to the playoffs. And I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought the offense, I mean, there was actually some promise for a bit. And right before the half, I thought they were going to score on that, you know, late drive, then they get the penalty, they move back. But I mean, they had a chance to almost be tied up heading into the half, or at least down by three heading into the half. And, you know, I think that there's no question that he should be starting next week. And I also think that it's very clear that he can read a defense and make decisions when, you know, making specific plays out there. And it's just clear that Malik is just not there yet. And to the point of him not playing, not starting in an NFL game, I mean, he was behind Ben Roethlisberger for a while. I was actually talking to Junie about it, and Junie's like, he was the QB3, Josh Dobbs was, and Ben Roethlisberger would go to him on the bench and be like, hey, what'd you see out there? And that's how other people view him in the league and other quarterbacks view him in the league. So I just don't think he ever had the opportunity, right? He's playing behind guys that have a solid – I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, the guy played for so long and up until his last couple of years never really got seriously injured and needed the backups to come off. So, I mean, I think it's promising, and I do think that they could win with him next week, especially when he actually has Derrick Henry, your best offensive weapon, in there.
So I just want to make it clear that we love John Glennon here on this show, and we love all of our media members here in Nashville.
Yeah, all due respect to all of them. All due respect. What a crock.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Rhodes. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Cowboys last night and the performance of Josh Dobbs. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.